Pursuits and goals. We are taught to set goals and then to pursue them. You may have listened to some of the comments made during the Olympics and how certain Olympians set goals for themselves and then pursued it with all their might. We need to be pursuing things as well. We need to have goals. And we need to track it down like a wolf pack. Perhaps you've seen the videos of the wolf pack chasing the deer or some other animal that they seek to capture and eat. They're relentless. They never give up. They may not be as fast as the deer, but they can outlast him. And they track him down and track him down and track him down until they get him. Well, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be pursuing like a wolf pack, something that we need to capture. We've been looking in the book of Proverbs, and we've looked at chapter 1 where we saw three voices calling to us. They were the voices of our peers that ask us to come and participate in their evil. That doesn't mean all of our peers seek to have us participate in evil, but oftentimes the conflict with young people is between what their parents say and what their peers say. And the parents are seeking to give truth and wisdom, but sometimes there is an alternate way proposed by the peers. And then we looked in verse 20 and looked at what wisdom had to say. Because we said not every parent gives wisdom and not all peers give foolishness. So who are you supposed to listen to? You are supposed to listen to wisdom. And wisdom shouts in the streets and calls men to listen to her. But because men don't, there's coming a time in their calamity they will call out to wisdom and wisdom won't answer, because they would not accept her counsel. And verse 32 says, "For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease of the dread of evil." So chapter 1 ends with a division of men. The waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. The naive and the fools have no hope. But the one who listens to wisdom, he will be at ease from the dread of evil. So let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 2 now. And looking in verses 1 through 10, we see certain responses that are going to be to the presence of wisdom. And in verse 1, we read, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you." This seems to be talking about an evaluation of wisdom. What kind of things do you receive? Consider Christmas presents. Do you return any of them? Do you receive any of them? Which ones do you receive? The ones you like, the ones you think are valuable, the ones you think are appropriate. You have a high value on the ones you keep, the ones you receive. And treasure my commandments within you. What do you treasure? Maybe an old heirloom, maybe a sentimental gift, maybe a picture. But they're special to you. And you wouldn't want to ever lose them. They are treasures. Well, that's what a son is supposed to do with his father's teaching. The father is supposed to be obeying Deuteronomy 6 and teaching the son every waking moment of his day, when he rises up, when he goes down, when he eats, when he's in the field. Whenever the father has a chance to be with his son, he is to be teaching him the word of God. But not every son likes that. Sometimes they ask the question, do we have to do this again? There's no treasuring. There's no receiving. But Solomon gives a condition. If you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. If you have a delight and a value on God's word, there is a consequence. Verse 2 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. This is part of the if statement. What about appropriating wisdom? Let's say you have a high view of God's word and you love wisdom. What do you do about it? Do you make your ear attentive to wisdom? Well, what was the son supposed to do? He was supposed to listen to his father all day long talk about the word of God. His ear was supposed to be to the word of God. Well, there's another way your ear can be to the word of God, and that's with your eyes. You can read the word of God. You can sit under the teaching of the word of God. But somehow you need to get the word of God in your mind. The most logical way is with the ear. So Solomon says, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom. So when wisdom is being spoken, you are at attention and listening. And then he says, incline your heart to understanding. Well, that's similar to make your ear attentive to wisdom. These verses are sort of like Hebrew parallelism, where the second half states the same thing as the first half. But incline your heart to understanding. What is different between the ear and the heart? Well, anybody can listen, but not everybody applies their heart to it. There is an ear that hears and there's an ear that doesn't hear. But he says if you incline your heart to it, not just physically hear, but spiritually hear. Jesus talked about this in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 9, he says, he who has ears, let him hear. What does that imply? Not everybody has ears. But the ones who do have ears should listen. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus says, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Wow. I mean, God reveals some things to some people and not those things to other people? Yes. And you know why? Because this people had said, this man casts out demons by the power of Beelzebul. Wisdom was standing in their presence and they rejected it. So what is wisdom going to do now? Wisdom's not going to talk to them at all. Verse 14, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. That's an amazing judgment that Jesus has pronounced upon the nation of Israel, that he will not teach them plainly so that they can understand, but he's going to teach them in parables for the exact purpose that they won't understand. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Do you have ears to hear? Then that is a gift of God. God has given you ears to hear, then use them to listen. Then look at verse 18. He tells his disciples, "Hear then the parable of the sower." He had already told them the parable of the sower. Did they hear it? No, not really. There are times that it's even difficult for those who have ears to hear. And so Jesus takes another opportunity and says, "Now with your ears that hear, hear this. Hear the parable of the sower. Let me explain it to you so that you have understanding." And we need to have ears that understand. In John chapter 8, another startling verse. In John chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying?" Jesus was speaking plainly enough. Why is it that you do not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You don't have the ability because you don't have the ears. Because you have rejected the truth. Verse 47 says, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." Another amazing judgment that Jesus pronounces against this people. So what connects the ears and the heart? Turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? So then we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief." You can be given all the opportunities in the world to hear, but if you do not believe, you never will. It must be united with faith. Therefore, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to hear the word of God in order to believe. You can't believe in a vacuum. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 21, we read the following. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What do you treasure? Do you treasure the Word of God? Like Solomon said to his son, "If you treasure my commandments," how will that affect your heart? That's where your heart will be also. If you treasure the things of the earth, your heart will be on the things of the earth. If you treasure the things of God, your heart will be on the things of God. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, we read, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." So if you have a heart set on the Lord and you hear the things of God, what things will you speak? You will speak the things of God and you will speak wisely. But if you have an evil and wicked heart that does not want the things of the Lord, then you will speak those things that are to the detriment of you and the detriment of others. For the mouth speaks what's in the heart, and the heart speaks about where your treasure is. And then Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God with all your mind, soul, strength, and heart. What are you supposed to do with your heart? Love the things of this world? No, you are to love God with all your heart. And the only way you can love God with all your heart is if your treasure is in God and in His wisdom. So we've looked at two conditions, basically. There is an evaluating of wisdom that says it is valuable. And there is an appropriating of wisdom that says, I will do what is necessary to hear it. Verse 3. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, what is this guy doing? He is begging God to give him something. He is crying for discernment. He is lifting his voice for understanding. He is shouting that this is what he wants. Now, God doesn't need you to shout. God doesn't need you to cry. He can hear your prayers when they are silent. But this guy is serious. He wants God. And he wants wisdom. Psalm 27, verse 5, gives the same kind of idea. It's David, and he talks about in verses 1 through 4, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, everything's going great. Evildoers came upon me, they fell, they stumbled. I'm surrounded by my enemies, but I don't fear, because I'm confident in the Lord. One thing I've asked of the Lord, I'm going to seek it. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This sounds just wonderful. And then he says in verse 7, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. Lord, if you're not gracious to me, you'll never hear me. I'm crying out to you. I'm doing what you ask of me. You ask me to seek your face, and I am seeking your face. You ask me to cry out to you, I am crying out to you. But unless you are gracious to me, all of this is worthless. Be gracious to me and hear my voice. That's the cry of a righteous man who recognizes he needs God more than anything, but that God doesn't need him at all. And it will always be according to grace that God ever hears any one of our prayers. And David understood that. In James chapter 1, verse 5, James said, Do any of you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. And God will give liberally. God loves to give wisdom to his people. Ask for it. And he will give it. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Ask. James said, you do not have because you do not ask. Ask. Ask for wisdom. Seek wisdom. Knock on the door of heaven until God answers. Like he said about the unrighteous judge who says, though I don't care about this widow at all because she's bothering me, I'll give her what she wants. And I say this advisedly and a little bit hesitantly. God is looking for holy pesterers of himself. He wants people to bother him, if you will, and knock on his door until he answers. just like Jacob who wrestled with him and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Well, what kind of statement is that? Jacob had no right to say that. But are you somebody who seeks God and wants him more than anything else, and you're willing to knock on his door until he answers, and you will not let him go? That's what God's looking for. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Now, I'm not saying if you want a fancy new car, you can ask God for whatever you want, and he's going to give it to you. I'm talking about asking God for God. To know him, to be his son, to have wisdom, to walk in this life in a way that blesses others and glorifies God. Ask him those things, and he most assuredly will give them. Back in Proverbs chapter 2, we have the if statement continued. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. What's the problem with silver? There's very little of it and a lot of rock. And you have got to take out a lot of rock to get a little silver. And then you have to purify the silver and burn off the dross. It takes a lot of work to get a little silver. And what's the problem? Or first of all, what's the blessing of hidden treasures? The treasure. But what's the negative part of hidden treasures? They're hidden. Now I've got to go do some work and find out how I find this hidden treasure. And people say, oh, that's the fun part. Really? Not when you don't find it. Spend your whole life looking for a treasure that doesn't exist. Looking for the fountain of youth as Ponce de Leon did. Never found it. No, we don't like the hidden part of it. We love the treasure part of it. But treasures are hidden. And you're going to have to work at it to find it. And silver is embedded in rock. And you're going to have to work at it to get it. So what is Solomon saying to his son in verse 4? If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, you're going to have to work at it. It is not going to come easy. You are going to have to expend effort for this to take place. Verse 5. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Notice again down in verse 9. Then you will discern righteousness, justice, and equity in every good course. What is the difference between verse 9 and verse 5? I think verse 5 is saying, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. You will know God. Whom to know is eternal life. You will know the God that is past finding out. You will know him if you seek for wisdom. Verse 9, I think it says, you will understand his ways. He is a God of righteousness and justice. Do you know why a loving God sends people to hell? Do you know why bad things happen to good people? If you don't know why, then you don't understand the ways of God. Those things happen because God is righteous and just. And we may never understand everything fully, but if we seek for wisdom, these things start making sense. And you try to tell an unbeliever why bad things happen to good people, and it's not going to work. They're not going to understand it. They'll ask the question, but they won't listen to the answer. The discernment given by wisdom is that you will discover the knowledge of God. And you will discern the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Now, why will this take place? For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and He preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So we have the then statements and a for statement after them. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord, for the Lord gives wisdom. You must seek this wisdom from God. He is the one who gives it. Verse 9, then you will discern righteousness and justice. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart. You will be wise. Amazing but true. You will become wise if you seek for wisdom. And therefore you can discern righteousness and justice, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Have you ever wrestled with the truth, like why do bad things happen to good people? And you've come to an understanding in the Word of God as to who God is and what His ways are, and you're content with God ruling the universe instead of you? Has knowledge ever been pleasant to your soul? That you can come to a conclusion and rest in the Lord and let that be the answer? That's a wonderful place to be. And you might not even be able to match that up with something else in the Bible, but you've come to a settled conclusion based upon the Scriptures, the wisdom that God gives, and you are content. And there are times that I can't even explain it, but I understand what is meant. So this is a beautiful conditional statement where Solomon tells his son, if you will value wisdom and appropriate wisdom and desire wisdom and work for wisdom, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, you will have the knowledge of God, and you will know the ways of God. Now, why is that even important? Because we live in a sin-cursed earth. And if we don't understand the wisdom of God, we won't understand what's going around us at all. And so Solomon says in verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Are there evil men out there? Are they like what is described in Proverbs 10, 2, verses 11 through 15, or 12 through 15. Do men speak perverse things? Do they leave the paths of uprightness? Or do they tell the truth? I don't see a lot of men telling the truth. To walk in the ways of darkness. Men love darkness and hate the light, lest their deeds be exposed. They delight in evil. Do men really delight in evil, or do they just practice evil? No, to men, evil is like a sport. They delight in practicing it and becoming better at it. And rejoice in the perversity of evil. Evil is twisted when compared to wisdom. But men love that. They love what's perverse and twisted. If you spent 1 week listening to the 10 o'clock news for the first 5 minutes, you would know man is twisted and perverse. Because that's what they like to show at the very beginning. Not the things that are happening in the community that are good and profitable. They like to show you how perverse men are. Why do they do that? Because men love to know how perverse men are. They love the perversity of evil. That's why the news starts off with it. I've stopped watching the 10 o'clock news. That doesn't make me any better than anybody else, but I don't care to watch the perversity of men. I know that man is perverse, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Men climbing up the corporate ladder. Men seeking to be president of the United States. Men running for office, as well as women. But we'll talk about the woman in a minute. Their paths are crooked, and they're devious in all their ways. Not everyone, but what is wisdom going to do? It's going to give you a knowledge of God and a protection by knowing the ways of God so that you don't follow in that. Because these men are profitable. These men are prosperous. These men are well known and famous. And we like that. We like attention to ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's from the Lord. If the Lord exalts you, that's okay, but do not exalt yourself. But many of these people, their exaltation is not from the Lord. It is from the perversity of evil. Another deliverance this wisdom will give you is from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. Now, why does she have to flatter with her words? Because if she didn't, you'd probably run. But she catches your ear. And she begins to flatter. She's one that's left the companion of her youth, her husband, and forgets the covenant of her God, her vows. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. Wouldn't you have to be persuaded to go to that house if you know it's a house of the dead? Yeah, so she flatters. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. It almost seems like one trip to her house and you've ruined your life, which is basically the case. Verse 20, so you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. Instead of being led astray by the evil man or the evil woman, you'll walk in the paths of good men. You'll have fellowship and friendship with good men who likewise want wisdom and walk in those paths. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Now I say verse 21 and 22 are a special promise given to the nation of Israel as a covenant nation, a theocracy whose God was their king. Where if they did what was right, they were blessed. We have teaching in the church today that says if you do what is right, you will be blessed. And the thing you can do right most often is give somebody money. The upright don't always get to live in the land. In the Soviet Union, the upright are put to death. Of course, there is no Soviet Union anymore, per se, but when it existed, the upright were put to death. The upright in East Germany were put to death. The Jews in Nazi Germany were put to death. Being upright doesn't ensure a long life from what Christ said. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The New Testament is full of exhortations to remain faithful unto death, because you may not be around much longer. Persecution occurs in countries around the world that we wouldn't even believe if we heard it. But this was true for the nation of Israel, and how is it true for us? Those that are upright will live with the Lord forever. It may not be in the land, although there is a hope for even the church to return with the Lord Jesus Christ and rule from Jerusalem. And the wicked will be cut off from the land. And in that day, God will rule with a rod of iron, and wickedness will be removed. But there's coming an even yet more glorious day, when Jesus Christ removes all wickedness from the earth forevermore, and His people dwell with Him in His Father's house, in His presence, in the beauty of holiness, worshiping Him and learning more of Him with every passing moment. So, some conclusions. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus states something rather remarkable. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. What, I strive for wisdom my whole life and then Jesus withholds knowledge from me? No, this is human wisdom. The humanly wise and intelligent. And have revealed them to infants. Why infants? Because it must be united with faith. And Jesus said, unless you have the faith of a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. God has revealed these things to people who have faith in the Lord and trust Him completely and don't even know what else to do except trust Him. He has revealed these things to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. So God's in charge of who gets to know Him? Yes. Has wisdom entered your heart so that you understand that? If you truly understand that, think of the times in PE class where you chose teams. And there was Mr. Buff as one team captain and Mr. Not-So-Buff as the other team captain. When Mr. Buff chose, what did you do? You jumped out in front of him and said, pick me, pick me, pick me. And he'd pick somebody else. And then what'd you do? You hid behind somebody so that this guy wouldn't see you. That's what God is waiting for. He is waiting for you to cry out to Him, pick me. Show me your truth. I want to know you. Ask, and it shall be given. Yes, God is sovereignly in charge of who He reveals Himself to. But the person who comes to Him in faith will never be rejected. Romans 11. After some of the most amazing theological truths stated in Romans chapters 1 through 11, Paul ends this part of the letter. He can't help himself. He has to. He's bursting with joy and praise of God, and he has to say so. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who first has given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Have you come to an understanding that it is not about you? That it is about God and His Christ? From Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory, not you. Has wisdom entered your heart? Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul wants you to know wisdom. And he wants you to do it as a living sacrifice. Abandon everything except the knowledge of God. Apply yourself fully to knowing Him. There's a hymn that all of us are familiar with. Some of us may not appreciate it as much as some others. But it's "Just As I Am." It was sung oftentimes at the Billy Graham Crusades for people to walk forward. And I'm not inviting anybody to walk forward, so hold your seats. But it does speak the truth. It says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." This person has nothing else to depend on except the blood of Christ. That is wisdom. "And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Does Jesus bid him come to Jesus? Yes. Matthew chapter 11. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will grant you rest." This man is doing what Jesus said to do. How wise can you be? Sounds like wisdom to me. "Just as I am, and waiting not." No hesitancy. No disobedience like the children in the wilderness. He's not waiting. "To rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come." He couldn't cleanse himself. Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can the leper change his spots? No. But God can. God can make a new creature out of a sinner. "Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind. Sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yes, all I need in thee I find. O Lamb of God, I come. I come." This man is desperate. He realizes he has nothing to offer and asks God to provide it all. But for those of you who know the Lord, there's another hymn I'd like to consider. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulses of Thy love, at the impulses of Thy love. What do you want to do with your hands? Do you want to use them for the Lord? Do you want to walk in the ways of God with your hands? Then learn wisdom from God. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King. Not just my hands, but my voice, my feet, my ears, whatever I've got. Let me give it all to the Lord as a living sacrifice that I may know Him. Solomon said, if you will treasure my commandments, if you will incline your heart to wisdom, if you will listen to wisdom, if you will seek wisdom with all your heart, if you will treasure wisdom like silver or hidden treasures and seek after it and do all that you can to gain it, there is the promise that you will understand the fear of the Lord, that you will know God, and you will understand His ways. And you will be protected from the evil of this world. May we all seek after such wisdom. Let me pray. Father, what an amazing offer. Give us hearts that love You more than anything else, and seek after this wisdom mentioned in Your Word, that we might receive the blessing of God to know You, whom to know is eternal life, and to walk in Your ways so as to please You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.